for this day, and I thank you for your anointing, for your grace, for your provisions, for your healing. God, just thank you for who you are. You are amazing. You are wonderful. You are awesome in all your ways. You're a waymaker. You're a provider. You're a protector. God, thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray that as we go forward in this part of the worship service, Lord God, that you would anoint me to speak forth your word with your heart, with your Holy Spirit's anointing. But Father, I pray that you would anoint your people this day to receive from you the engrafted word of God. I pray for great grace to be upon us all. We love you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I should say, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Clint, go grab that banner real quick. Let's put it right here. Do you guys remember what we've been talking about for the last few weeks? Yea, verily, verily, since the 1st of January. Seek. Just, that's it. Just seek. Just keep looking. No. Seek ye first. You guys obviously need visuals. Nice. It picks up channels. Woo. We need a visual, so we got this. Seek first the kingdom of God. I hope that's a good visual reminder. Matthew 6:33. That is the banner over us this year. This is something that the Lord is calling us to do, to put these the things of the kingdom of God first as top priority in our life. Guys, we've looked at the reality that we don't have years and years and years to just waste away. We don't. If Jesus' word is true, he's coming back very, 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 very soon. And the signs of the times are here. They're now. In other words, what's the likelihood of Jesus coming back in your lifetimes? Extremely high. I believe with all my heart that we were going to see that. You and I, in our flesh, there's a passage in Job. It says, even if my flesh be destroyed, yet if with my flesh, with my eyes, I will see God. Yeah. Well, here we are in our flesh with our very eyeballs. We're going to be seeing the King of Kings. Oh, it's going to be glorious. So, not likely. So, all right, here we go. So, we've been talking about being kingdom-minded. Kingdom-minded. In other words, I want you to be thinking about the kingdom of God. I want you to be thinking about the things of God, okay? I want you to be kingdom-working. Very important. Good job. Working for the kingdom to advance his causes. Amen. Okay? And then I also am asking you to be kingdom ready. That means when you stand before your God, you're not going, oh, give me like 5 minutes. Can I have just 5 more minutes? Just real quick, Lord Jesus, I'm really, really sorry. I've been living in some sin, and I know you've been telling me to let it go and to repent, but I just haven't done that yet. I'm really, really sorry. Can you please forgive me? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm ready. He's going to say, hadn't your pastor been telling you? I've been asking your pastor to tell you so much that you've no longer called him your pastor. You're calling him your pester. Okay, so this is very important that you're listening. What am I asking you to do? Be thinking about the kingdom of God. Be advancing his causes in the world in which we live. And then to be ready when the king shows up. Amen. Okay, this is what we're talking about. This is what we're striving toward this entire year. Every single subject and topic has literally fallen in line with this, to this end. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. Amen. We've looked at God's will for our life. We've looked at doing it God's way for our life. Right? We've looked at trusting God. Even when we're thinking, hey, it's about time we step out, Moses. We're thinking it's about time to step out, Moses. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm the deliverer. Hi. I'm the guy. And God's like, You're 40 years too soon. Let's see how that works. Oh, it didn't work out well. Go hang out on the backside of a desert, you dipstick. And I'll meet you there in 40 years. Well, yeah, so we're looking at learning how to trust in God and trusting in His timing as well. Amen? Okay. We've looked at how God has desired and designed the entire company of Israel to be a priest nation, a nation of priests to Him. But that's not the way they wanted it. God chose Israel for intimacy, but they rejected Him. They chose distance from Him for safety. Okay? We read all about it in Exodus chapter 19. Okay? How He says, come up to the mountain. And you're my people. You're a priest, a nation of priests before me. And they said, yeah, that's a little scary. Wow, who knew fire and earthquakes and a loud trumpet blast? Yeah, that's woo over the top. And so you're kind of big. You're kind of you got a good thing going on, and that's awesome. And we'd like to serve you from here, though, okay? Translation, God is awesome. I love God. I'm so sold out for God, but I'm going to do it from the pew. Okay, moving right along. So in other words, God's not interested in an armchair quarterback. He's interested in the players on the field. So that's us. Amen. Okay, so we are going to, as God is choosing us for intimacy, we're not going to select distance for safety. We're going to go ahead and boots to the line. Lord, I'm in. I'm ready. Let's do this. Amen? Okay, it's fun. It's fun. It is. Okay, now, today I want to spend some time looking at the principles that are found in the Lord's Prayer and why I want to reiterate, if you look at, and we're going to go spend a few moments here in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9. Most Bibles title this section is called the model prayer. Good job. You guys had it right there on the tip of your tongue. Okay, the model prayer. In other words, the Lord never intended these boys. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He says, okay, this is what you say. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He never intended them to say this verbatim. Why? How do we know that? Because they were there and you weren't. And they never, again, repeated word for word verbatim. That was not their daily prayer life. What do we do see, though, is they grabbed the hold of the principles that God was giving to them, that Jesus was giving to them, and they ran with that the rest of their lives. And we see that, the model prayer, modeled and demonstrated in the book of Acts and in the epistles. So let's look at this. Let's look at the model. Let's look and see what we need to see about this, okay? Are you guys with me? Woo, yeah, Pastor, right behind you. Go, lead the way. Yeah, all right, thanks for the encouragement. Let's go. I am interested in reading Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9. Jesus is speaking. He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Keep going. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, there is nothing wrong in the world with you memorizing this passage. Matter of fact, I would encourage it. Memorize it, quote it, say it, speak it. But if that's all you do, then you have missed it. What then do we need to do? We need to look at the principles that are behind this and start incorporating those things into our life. Pull up verse 9 again, please. I'm going to have a sip of water. We've already looked at this in some depth. Jesus is saying in this manner, pray. Our Father in heaven, in glory, holy is your name. Lord God, I reverence you. I honor you. You're the name above all names. Your kingdom come. Lord God, I realize in glory, that's where your kingdom resides. But Lord God, I want your kingdom here in me. I want your kingdom in my life. I embrace the King, and with the King is the kingdom. May your kingdom come. God, I want your will to be done in my life. I want it to be done in my home. I want it to be done in my neighborhood, in my city, in my country. Your kingdom, your way, I'm all in. That's good. Yeah, all right. On earth as it is in heaven. Oh, it would be awesome, Lord, if heaven, or if earth, was a reflection of heaven. That'd be something. Lord, up to now, the prayer has been directed at you in your way. And I want you in your way all over me in my ways. But Lord, I'm still man, still woman. And I need provisions. I still have need of things. God, I'm not praying for the provisions for the rest of my life. I'm praying for today. Give me this day my daily bread. Give me this day the grace that I need to stand in the capacity that you've called me to stand. I need this day the grace, the anointing, your bread. And God, please forgive me. Because I need forgiveness. I'm not perfect. I acknowledge that there was one who is perfect. I acknowledge him. And I acknowledge that I'm completely dependent upon him for life. In his perfection, would you give me your forgiveness? And God, as you forgive me, the forgiveness comes upon me. Let it not stop with me, but let it go out from me, and I'll forgive those who have wronged me. Amen. Let me not hold grudges. Let me not be caught up with bitterness. Forgive us our sins, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Here we go. And Lord God, I ask, you don't lead me into temptation. That's Satan's playground. I know, God, that you bring us through tests. But Lord God, you're not the tempter. You test to refine my character. God, I live in Satan's kingdom. I'm an extension of your kingdom. I need your help. As I live in the world, your word says that the God of this world blinds the minds of those who do not believe. Lord God, I pray that I don't fall prey to his wiles. Don't let me fall to those temptations. God, deliver me from that evil one. I need deliverance. I need help. I need you. You are my rock. God, it's about your kingdom. We're coming full circle now. Started with God, worked through me, happening out here. Now it's back to you. It's your kingdom, God. It's by your power, God. And it's for your glory, God, that we live and move and have our being. Guys, these are the principles. It's not a verbatim. You apply this verbatim to your life, you're not going to be soaring. You're not going to be like, ooh, what's so different about your prayer life? I'd sure like to know what you're doing. No, come on, really? I'll tell you what I'm doing. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Oh, wow, that's so... No. Listen, God, I'm all in. Your will be done. Your ways be done. You are God. I am not. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. I need your daily provisions for my life. Why? So that I can affect positive change in the world in which I live. And Lord God, this is going to happen because you're God. And it is your kingdom. And it's by your power. By your spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Right? And God, you are the one who's going to bring get all the glory from this. Amen. You know, when we lay hands on people and miracles happen, it's not because I wore a cape. It's because the Lord God is the Savior, amen, the Redeemer, the Healer. And I'm just believing Him, His Word. He says, hey, you go ahead and, you know, you lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. Really? Okay. Hey! I have an animated mind, I'm told. So, it's been said. So, all right. So, again, guys, God is giving us principles to live by, to incorporate into our lives, not a recipe for a solemn recital to be delivered verbatim and lethargically, but rather to impart life, to give us direction in life. I believe with all my heart that the God who does not change is the God, my King, is a God of order, not of chaos, a God of law, but also of grace. God is a God of law, not of legalism. God is a God who does, we do things through ritual, through tradition. But God's not in the rituals and He's not in the tradition. He's doing this to get something into us, a way of life. Are you with me? So when God gave these commandments, the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20, you got to understand that there's something behind these things. Just like we just now looked at that. Are you guys okay with that? Did I elaborate too much? You're like, that's false doctrine. You just elaborated too much, Pastor. I'm telling you, man, I want to live this way. This is what I'm aspiring to be. You're the pastor. Aren't you supposed to be? I'm trying. you're the Christian. Aren't you doing it? Hello? Was I going too fast? Okay. Exodus chapter 20, I want to look at the Ten Commandments real quick, and I'm going to look at the first four of the Ten Commandments. And incidentally, interestingly enough, little nerd moment, the first four deal with our relationship toward God, the first four of the Ten Commandments. The next six deal with our relationship toward mankind. The first commandment talks about who to worship. The next three talk about how to worship. Okay? You with me? The first one talks about who we're to worship. The next three talk about how we're to walk that out. Okay? Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. We're still there. Okay? Now we're just looking at it through God in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. Okay? And all of these things, I'm telling you, they are relevant for us today. We don't look at the left half of the Bible, the Old Testament, and say, it's not for me today. Really? The God of miracles is not for you today? The God who brought His people out of bondage is not for you today? There's not a story there for you today? You can't apply nothing to your life? Nay. Yes! People are in bondage today. God still brings miracles into people's lives today. God's still the one who initiates miracles. And he calls you to himself. And he says, hey, you're here. I'm here. Let's go ahead and move this thing together. Forward. What do you say? Right? Okay. So Exodus chapter 20. We looked at last week. Do you guys remember what we talked about? Keeping your Saturdays precious. Guarding so that when you come to church on Sunday, you come ready. Cricket. Remember in Exodus 19, which incidentally falls right before Exodus 20. Okay, in Exodus 19, God says, hey, go down, tell the people, laundry day, take a bath, because in 3 days, we're going to have church. In other words, get yourselves ready. Get yourselves ready. God goes a little farther than that. He says, hey, husbands, wives, hey, like maybe refrain. Why? Because I want you to think about me, not each other. Okay? Let's not eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow is church, you idiot. Hello? Right? No. God's not calling people idiots. I'm sorry, I take it back. Okay? That was me. I got a little over the top. Okay. God's calling his people, though, to get ready, to prepare their hearts. Why? So that they absolutely maximize their time with him. And not only that, not to maximize our time, but because God says in the Old Testament again and again and again, and God does not change, those who come near me must regard me as holy. In other words, when you just come waltzing in like you own the place, all covered up in sin, with bad heart, bad attitude, bad mind, bad mindset, and you just come waltzing in here, yeah, whatever, I'm going to do my thing. God's like, no, you're not, because I'm holy. So it's kind of important, kind of a big deal that we, you know, take care of our hearts, our lives, as we're leading up to an encounter with the Lord. We all want an encounter with the Lord. We all want to have that power released into our lives to go out and affect change in our lives so that we are not living a deprived life. So we need to safeguard our day leading up to the Lord's day, okay? Now here we go. Here comes some principles. Okay, the first one is about who to worship. The next three are about how we are to worship. Here we go. First commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the New King James. NLT says it like this. Yeah, it was there. Whoopsie. There's some fun buttons. Go ahead and hit them all. All right. New Living Translation says, you must not have any other God but me. Okay? So who are we to worship? God and God alone. Okay? So the meaning is we are to worship God and worship him only. Worship him alone. All right? Now, I'm going to be careful with saying worship God alone, because that means by myself. No. It means him alone, okay? Our attention, our love, our adoration, our in the carpet in the nose is before him. Hello? Right? Amen. It's not before my job, my boss, some false god, some idol I made. It's to God and God alone, okay? The second commandment, you guys ready for this? Smile at me real big, guys. You ready? Okay, well, ready or not. New King James again. You shall not make for yourself a carved image of any likeness of any kind that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Keep going, verse 5 and 6. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. We've looked at that. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations to those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. The meaning of this one. We got to look at the New Living Translation real quick. A part of that verse. You must not make for yourself an idol. The other one said, New King James said, a graven image, a carved image. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or any image of anything that is in heaven or on the earth or in the sea. Okay, the meaning? We are to worship God correctly. Okay? Not only are we worship Him only, He's calling us to worship Him correctly. You with me? Third commandment. Next verse. Verse 7. This is the NIV because that was just fun. I had to add a little bit more. Okay? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. The Amplified Translation says, you shall not use or repeat the name of the Lord your God in vain. That is, lightly or frivolously. In false affirmations, well, I swear by God. Nuh-uh. In false affirmations or profanely, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Okay? Again, this is about worship. The meaning of this is we must worship him sincerely without hypocrisy. Are you okay with this?
Yeah.
Is it making some sense? Number four, and lastly, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male servant or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The meaning? We are to worship God regularly. Well, okay. God is a faithful God. That's a part of His characteristics. You want to talk about something that's near and dear to the heart of God? It's His characteristics. Love. Love is a characteristic of God. One that I found to be quite moving in my own life is honor. Honor. You want to touch the heart of God? Live a life of honor. We honor. The Bible actually calls us to honor the gray head. When the gray head enters the room, you're to stand. Why? Honor. Respect. We give place and acknowledge. Guys, we don't live in a culture anymore. We think, hey, they're old. Send them to the nursing home. What? Warehouse them. Ouch. What a rude, sick, twisted reality that has become. And God says, that is not my ways. What is my ways? Put on an addition. Build a little extra. You honor them, I'll honor you. Watch what I show up and do, and I'll pay your bill. But you're not even stepping out. Why? Because you're interested in just ushering people away, not dealing with it. No, we love the elderly. We minister to them. We honor them. I had the privilege and the honor was mine, to go and celebrate with Pastor and Mrs. Banuelos. I got to celebrate her. It was the 80th? 80th birthday. That is an honor. And this is an honor. This is a privilege. Why? She is a licensed minister of my King. She has served her life, and He has dedicated His life and served the Lord Jesus, my Jesus. That is a place of absolute honor. We honor them. I want you guys to always be in the back of your mind. You see them at the grocery store, you offer to buy some groceries. You see them at the gas station, you put the gas in their tank and pay for it. You show up and shovel their snow. Amen. Come on, guys. Amen. We honor the people of God who've gone before us, who've served the King. Amen. So again, love, honor. Another big one for God, faithful. Faithful. Is God a God that you can depend on, rely on? That He is faithful? So then shouldn't His kids have some of them characteristics? Shouldn't His kids be reliable, dependable, faithful? Oh, okay, all right, you're telling me. Okay. There are four overriding themes of these commandments that we just looked at, and every one of them was worship. We're told who to worship, we're told how to worship. I'll go over these again just really quickly. We are to worship God and God alone. We are to worship God correctly. The third one is, we are to worship God sincerely and without hypocrisy. And the last one is, we are to worship God regularly. Amen?
Amen.
So I'd like to talk about, just for a moment, I want to talk about the Lord's Day. I'd love that this church rise up and take back the Lord's Day.
Amen.
Take back. Now, I'm gonna. We got a lot to do, but we're making some amazing ground right now. Let me give you a picture of society real quick, and again, this is not to jab at any person. This is to jab at us as a whole and check our hearts, okay? I'd like to be tapping you on the shoulder, not poking you in the chest, okay? Let me tap you on the shoulder. You guys ready? Gordon Dahl says it like this. Most middle-class Americans tend to worship their work, work at their play, and play at their worship. Most middle-class Americans tend to worship their work, to work at their play, and to play at their worship. Listen, guys. I remember many years ago, I listened to a sermon by Keith Moore, and he talked about how people, it was time to come into the house of God and to bring in their worship and to present themselves before God, and people wouldn't even come in the door. They're thinking, oh man, I got to finish my breakfast burrito. I'm starving. And one of the parking lot attendants said, hey, you know, can I help you go inside? No, it's not a big deal. It's just worship. I'll be in just a minute. Just? I mean, the first four commandments are pretty powerful. It's all about worship. Worshiping God, worshiping Him right, getting your bottom side in gear, right? Whew. For me, some of the questions that I ask, I've asked myself and I'm answered, and I don't have time to answer all of these, but I'm going to pose some questions. How important is this principle? How important is going to church? Why is church, this is a question I had as a kid growing up, why is church every 7 days? How come we got to go to church every Sunday? Right? Why can't we mix it up? You know, we'll go Sunday and then, you know, come in sometime a week and a half later, let's come in Thursday. And then the following, you know, we'll come in Tuesday. You know, why Sunday? I don't get it. So we're going to talk about that. Aren't you glad I've answered and asked these questions for myself as a kid growing up? All right. How about this one? Can I just worship at home or on a mountaintop in some solitude? Yes. You can. But is that what God is calling you to do consistently? Yeah, we're going to look at that. How about this one? In such a busy world, who has time to stop and worship God? I would like to remind you that there was only one person in history who got all of his work done by Friday. That was Robinson Crusoe. You know, what's funny is I had to explain that to my wife. She's like, I don't get it. I'm like, Robinson Crusoe? Oh, the guy that he found him on a Friday. He named him Friday. So all of his work he got done by... It was funny. All right. So let me ask you a quick question, guys. Is what we're talking about, does this fall under the category of our banner for this year? To seek the kingdom of God first. I'm going to read an excerpt from this book right here, Spiritual Leadership by J. Oswald Sanders. And this will be on the overhead as well. Would you bring me a tissue real quick, please? This is a good excerpt. Ignore this part. Aren't you glad we didn't record that? Imagine in a world you're driving down the road. All right, I'm going to read an excerpt. Ooh, that's awful. All right, here we go. This is concerning compromise. And here comes a big ouch, but yay at the same time. You ready? Can we waive a principle to reach agreement? Lowering standards is always a backward step, and compromise nearly always requires it. The epic contest of Moses and Pharaoh is a classic example of the temptation to compromise. When Pharaoh realized that Moses meant to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt, he used cunning and threats to frustrate him. Worship God, if you will, was his first overture, but don't leave Egypt to do it. A modern equivalent would be, religion is okay, but don't be narrow about it. No need to let religion isolate you from the rest of the world. Ooh, that's a good insight. When that approach failed, Pharaoh tried something else. If you must go out of Egypt to worship, then don't go far. Religion is fine, but there is no need to be fanatical about it. Stay as close to the world as you can. Yet a third attempt played on natural affection. Let the men go and worship, and the women and children stay here. In other words, if you must break with the world, don't force such a narrow lifestyle on everyone else in the family. Pharaoh's last attempt was an appeal to greed. Okay, go! But the flocks and the herds stay. Don't let your odd religious commitments get in the way of business and prosperity. With clear spiritual insight, Moses cut through each evasion. Not a hoof is to be left behind, he said, Exodus chapter 10, verse 26. So Moses passed with honors a great test of his leadership of God's people. That's some good insights. Asking and answering some of these questions, how important is this principle? Well, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. In other words, the return of the Lord Jesus is near. This church should be full every service.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. This is Jesus, guys. This is Jesus. This is the heart of our master, our king. He said, and it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Other translations, the New King James says it, they were scattered. This broke Jesus' heart. He said, they're like sheep on that hillside. They don't have a shepherd. Boys, come here. I want you, my disciples, I want you to be praying to the Lord of the harvest to send out shepherds and round those sheep up. They're my sheep. Go get them, boys. And you bring them together. This is the heart of Jesus, yo. Guys, Sunday is not the last day of the week. Did you know that? It's actually the first day of the week. We're going to talk about that. But I'm going to stop and say, a man who chops wood doesn't waste time sharpening his axe. A man who chops wood doesn't waste time sharpening his axe. Here's another very, very important part of worship, one that we don't talk about very much and very often. It is the fact that when you show up, hair combed or not combed, doesn't matter. The fact that you showed up is literally before God, presenting yourself to God. Amen. Huh? I don't know about that, Pastor. Show me some scriptures. Glad to. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we come to church, not only are we presenting our praise, not only are we presenting to the Lord our offerings, we are literally presenting ourselves to the Lord. Here I am. Send me. I'll go. My dad gave me something very profound when I was a kid growing up. I'd tell him, Dad, the coach won't put me in the game. The coach won't put me in the game. The coach won't put me in the game. He says, Son, stand behind the coach. When the coach, I said, Dad, he walks down the aisle. Get on up now. Come on. He said, walk with him. In other words, when that coach turns around, I need somebody to go in there and get this job done. He turns around and sees you, son. When the world's dying and going to hell, and everybody, here I am. Send me.
Amen.
Oh, that's good. That's good preaching. I didn't even put that in my notes. All right. I'm going to close right here. I want to tell you, next Sunday, this is what we're going to kind of gear toward, okay? We're going to ask and answer this question. Why is church every 7 days? That's a good question. Next week I want to talk about and look at why do Christians meet on Sunday and not on what is the biblical Sabbath day? And then, what, biblically speaking, what does it mean when it says worship? What does this mean? Something very profound and key that we've not really talked about. So we're going to look at what does worship entail. We're going to look at why do we worship on Sunday? Why do we worship on the Lord's Day and not the Sabbath day? These are questions that are very relevant to our world. And these are questions that absolutely fall under this banner. We need to put God first. Amen. We need to live like we mean business. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. I've got to go rescue those poor teachers from next door. Father, I thank you again for this day. I thank you for your grace, for your anointing. Father, thank you that your spirit is so thick and heavy in this place. God, we love you. We praise you. We appreciate everything that you have done for us. We acknowledge your hand in our lives. Even when we didn't see something, Lord God, we know that you're there. God, even when we didn't know that you protected us, kept us safe from a mishap or an accident or a snare of the enemy, God, you were there and you did those things for us. We have all the more reason to praise you. For the Father, for the provisions that crept up this week that we didn't know, God, you are there. You're our provider. Thank you. Father, and I thank you, thank you, thank you that in this town, in this place, in this moment of history, Lord God, you're sending people into Carbon County to stir us up. People like Pastor Dick Williams is going to come in and show us an anointing, a unique level of anointing that you've called him to and given to him. Father, through prophecy, through worship, thank you. We are honored to have him here tonight. And God, we're going to honor your man. We're putting your kingdom first. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.